Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here with our assignment. Loneliness is the poverty of self. Solitude is the richness of self. With the 16th bead of our rosary, we recite the line, "Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness." The emptiness being pointed to here is the absence of the I. When we drop into the space between the thoughts, we fall into the richness of true solitude and experience suffused with the joy of presence. The intimacy with the intelligence that animates, this intimacy with the intelligence that animates is more readily accessible in the solitude of the meditation hall or the silence of nature. Today, find a quiet place to be in solitude and practice receiving the richness of emptiness. Record and listen. All right, here's our first call.
Yeah.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jen.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, I just love this quote. I don't really know, you know, exactly what to say except yes, yes, and more yes. I just loved this. I love the, well, a couple of things. I want to just, the unmuting practice, I'm just so grateful that that keeps being talked about, and that's been, it's been a lifeline on some days, you know, when I'm identified and in an awful place or whatever, and just to, you know, just to find that willingness to punch those buttons and, you know, even not getting through, it doesn't matter. And I know people have talked about that, but I just want to throw my hat into the ring too of how grateful I am that the calls are here, but also that ability, that unmuting practice. There have been so many days when I feel like that has saved me, you know, even though I never got through, but just it's made all the difference, and it's brought me to that place of that connection, however the quote said it so beautifully, you know, that connection to all that is.
Takes us to that absence of ego and presence in life, and that just makes all the difference.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I just loved this quote. You know, I love all of them. I mean, it's not like there's never a day. I mean, they're all just so
right. You say, "Oh, I hate that quote."
Right.
And this is just one batch of quotes, right? Most of us also get the daily peace quotes, and just all kinds of those. Oh, yes. Because the quotes take us to that same place, right? Oh,
exactly.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yep. So right, just to have that come into my email, and then it's just the willingness to, you know, I got to open it and read it and record with it, and then it really, you know, then the magic is is available so I can just participate with it. But I'm so grateful for all of those different ways that we get to do that. There's something, I think it's maybe like an Eknos Eshwaran thing or something, but about, I don't know how I heard it, was something about just the power of that. And we talk about it with recording and listening, just reading beautiful words and letting our attention be on those things. And then, like you said, it takes us to that experience. And I'm just so grateful. That always had sort of caught my interest when I had heard that was, from what I understood, a practice of Eknos Eshwarans, and I love that it feels like Project Joy is giving us that chance. As you said, we have so many ways, but Project Joy gives us this really beautiful way to, you know, have our attention on these beautiful words that then take us to this beautiful experience, you know, instead of the alternative that conditioning is always there with.
Right.
So,
Yeah, well, that's an important point with practice, that the negative voices in the head talk us into painful, suffering places with their ugliness, their nastiness, and unpleasant words. It's a conversation. They talk us right into feeling bad, and we can use that practice, the same process for ourselves. We just turn it into focusing on what is true and what is so and what is beautiful. And it is how it works, which is wonderful. You know, a lot of times ego will want to go to a place of, well, yeah, but you're just making that up. You're just pretending that all this awful stuff isn't the case. And no, actually, pretending that awfulness is what the world is, that's what is not so. That's what's not true. And all we have to do is get out of that negative conversation to realize it. We just get here and breathe and look around, and we know that awfulness is not what life is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And it is so tricky when I'm in it, I believe the awfulness and the whole bit. But yes.
Well, that's why we don't. That's why we surround ourselves with the things that remind us that those are lies. And yeah.
Yeah.
Attach that recorder to our person.
Yes, and why it's so great that we have, you know, great is not the right, like so magnificent, amazing, you know, gratitude producing, yeah, that we have so many opportunities through this practice in particular to be surrounded. So it does feel like that thing is true, that we can't go, I don't know, it feels like my experience that, you know, I definitely can get stuck in it for sure, but, you know, I can't go too far before I will, I'll unmute or I'll read the email or I'll, you know, listen to the recording or something. And it's just such a blessing, such a support.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is.
So thank you.
Well,
it's
thank you, Jen.
To talk to you all.
Wonderful. See you soon.
All right. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. I just love the irony of it, right, Sherry? It's when you're unmuted that you're present. And we've been talking about solitude as a way to connect to those spaces between the thoughts. It's such a lovely parallel.
Uh-huh.
The same thing, right, that when I put myself into presence, then I'm connected to that place of presence. And we do it in solitude in the meditation hall, and when we put ourselves into the queue, waiting to be unmuted.
Mm-hmm. And the point that you're making is a powerful one, because the silence and solitude that we're talking about is not the same one that ego would be talking about, right? Because that's because we can speak from silence of the heart.
Yes. And from presence, right? That's what everyone who puts themselves in the queue is talking about. There's a hyper-vigilance in being here, which is the richness of emptiness, right? Aliveness.
Yes. Yeah. Aliveness, exactly.
Yeah.
Or as the Buddha said when asked, are you a god? Are you a whatever? Well, what are you? And his response was, I'm awake.
Awake, yes, exactly.
And so there we have that experience of truly being awake.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Good morning. Good morning, Ashwini. Good morning, Sherry. Let's see. I guess... Yeah, I just want to say sometimes when I read the quotes, I really like them and I love the assignment. And then it seems sometimes that whatever drops in gets kind of blocked. It gets blocked by conditioning. But it's helpful to show up, as this is always playing.
Right.
My experience is it's always really helpful to show up. And if I heard you guys talking with the previous caller, I guess what was dropping in is that the solitude is – well, it's like the silence. It's like the not listening to the voices, solitude.
Yes. Oh, what a great point.
You know, like
yes. Yeah, talk about a glorious way to be alone, right? The wonder of being with the self, not in the conversation.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's it. Uh-huh. Thank you. Yes. So I just want to say it's so exciting because I'm just here waiting in the queue thinking, you know, the voices are telling me you don't have anything to say and you can't really fake it. And then all of a sudden the sting drops in. Well, gosh, you know, solitude is like not having to be in a conversation with you. And, yeah, so... So showing up is helpful. Yeah.
Yes, and there it is, right? Yeah. That's what the voices are constantly with the, you're not going to, it's not going to, that won't, what, right. Whatever it is. You know, don't press star six or unmute yourself or whatever it is. You know, you can't do that,
yeah.
But put yourself in the queue because you're not going to have anything to say. Well, no, you won't have anything to say if you're listening to that voice tell you you're not going to have anything to say. But if you move into that silence and solitude of not listening to it and not
yeah.
talking back to it, then here, life has an opening to drop in the thing for you to say. And it's the thing for you, and it's the thing for us. It's the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, well, thank you for drawing that out, Sherry, that what you just said about... if I listen to the voices, yeah, then I won't have anything to say. And if I, mm-hmm. if that conversation gets dropped, then life can, it creates a space where life can, something can, may arise.
Yes. Well, and the last part of that is the perfect thing will arise.
The perfect thing
right?
will
so,
arise.
So life drops in, intelligence gives us what is needed for, in that moment.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
So
yeah,
it's what yeah. you need to see and hear. It's what we need to see and hear. That's the power. Ashwini often talks about that it takes every note of intelligence. You know,
yeah.
it takes us all. Nobody is superfluous because it takes each and every one of us being available and present as life unfolds. For what is needed for us to be revealed.
Oh, my gosh. That is so beautiful. I mean, I've heard you talk about this before, but now I really feel like I hear more what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Isn't it? What a team.
It is really beautiful.
Team life.
Yeah, so that every moment then, yeah, and that every moment then is what would you say, like, full, not
yes.
even just not even just the possibility, but every moment is full of life
yes.
delivering what's needed.
Yes, it's perfect, which
perfect.
Is why we want to get out of that negative conversation about what's wrong and what's missing, because that doesn't have anything to do with what actually is.
Yeah.
We have to get here for what is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Feel you have to be present to win.
You have to be present to win, right? Yeah, great. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you
both. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be on, you know, in the queue and to be participating in the morning show. And gosh, it's just so great. And I just want to point out one little like meta process is that what happened for me, I was out, I was away in July, and then I came back, and all of a sudden I realized that was the voice telling me I didn't feel like being in the queue, or I wasn't ready, or whatever. Like, I always thought before that it meant, I don't know, I believed it, and then all of a sudden, by being in
you
this process
it.
Of having Project Joy, it dropped in that, oh crap, holy crap, that's it, that's the thing. So... After that, it becomes so much easier to just put myself in the queue. And there is some, you know, anticipation and some excitement, but it's like, whatever it is, it's like, that's okay. I'm putting myself in the queue. It's not debatable anymore. Yeah.
Right. It's like being on retreat and putting your hands in gusho. Right? It's the
yeah.
same thing. There's this adrenaline that comes in of, ooh, here we go.
Yeah.
But. It is what we want to do because it's what we're there for. We're there to participate, and we are here to participate.
We are here to participate. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you
both.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Virginia. I think holy crap is a good wake up call, Sherry.
Yes. I bet we all know that moment of wait a minute. What was I thinking?
Yes, well, and to me it's that I was just writing about it, that when we come to is a moment of pure awareness where life has access to us. And
yeah.
So it's a very dangerous moment for karmic conditioning because we're so aware. And so
yeah.
If we can capitalize on the energy of the moment to redirect the attention to awareness, then we are that is such a phenomenal practice, right? That's where
yeah.
we can seize the advantage.
Yeah, seize the advantage. Yes, that's exactly it. To realize the magnitude of that juncture.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as you say, capitalize on it. Yeah. Grab it for us. Grab it
yes,
for life.
Grab it for us. Which is where the self-hate mm-hmm. comes in, right? That's where it grabs it for it. And so to stay
yes.
in the awareness, to move to gratitude or whatever it is, we redirect the attention to and keep the aperture of awareness open.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's exciting. That, you know, that, I love those kinds of things because it's a very concrete thing to practice with. So to
exactly.
look for that moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
Look for it. And then mm-hmm. really enjoy it when it's there.
Yes. It's the place where conditioned mind has to have a loophole, right? So it gets us, to talks us into going unconscious. And in order for it to beat us up for feeling bad, it has to allow us to come to. So it's
uh-huh.
a dangerous moment.
Yeah, it's risky. Risky for egos.
And
yeah.
if we're paying attention, it's the moment we can actually get off the karmic process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We could say stay off it because we are off of it, and we can
yes.
stay off of it. Yeah.
Exactly so.
Oh, yep. Good.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy. Hi, Sherry.
Hello, Nancy.
Yes. Well, as I was sitting here in the queue, I think I just experienced the loneliness is the poverty of self. And
uh-huh.
and I did that because the previous caller actually stated what my awareness was around this, you know, where it's the being able to be in the present moment and being in that solitude, even though no matter what you're doing. So
uh-huh.
as I was listening to it, I had that jolt like, oh gosh, I might as well get out of the queue. You know, she just took what I was going to say.
I better hang up. It's all been said.
And I just saw how that is the loneliness that they're talking about, that
uh-huh.
withdrawing, that you know, I'm all caught up in a conditioned response, and if I kept there, I would have been out of the queue. I would have, you know, hung up the phone, and I see myself
mm-hmm.
do that a lot, you know, with other situations. And when I'm in that situation, that's probably the loneliest I would ever feel because I do tend to withdraw. Nobody is, you know, it's like I'm fuming on the inside, but have a smile on the outside kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet
mm-hmm.
knowing that I am in the throes of, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning. So
mm-hmm.
it was great to see that as I was on the phone and basically I do see that the loneliest that I have ever been was in conditioned mind.
Yeah.
So
just that image that you presented of withdrawing, you withdraw, you hang up the phone, you walk off. I mean, that's sad. I mean, I project, I can go there. I project everybody can go to that place, but not really realizing that that's what's going on. I've just walked off with the devil.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to be happy.
Yes. So I'm mm-hmm. very happy that that temptation, you know, I saw it. I wanted mm-hmm. to hang up, and I just decided I was going to stick in the queue, and whatever comes out, comes out.
So it's exactly the same process we were just talking about with Virginia, isn't it? Where
exactly.
So the voices are going, blah, 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 and you choose life to be here. And the trust in life that demonstrates.
Exactly.
There's no room for ego, because ego is, you're not going to have anything to say, and you're going to sound stupid, and
right.
and you're all your trust is with life, and life delivers. Right? Gives you a great insight, and you talk about that insight, and we all get to share that insight.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful solitude that I feel within my soul, you know, just within the being.
Yes.
It does feel like solitude. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right. You are one with life.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's gorgeous. And I do love
it. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's completely fulfilling.
Yeah, it is.
That's the difference. The one you walk off and there's that hollowness. It's not the emptiness that we're all excited about. It's a hollowness of having abandoned yourself.
And what a lonely feeling is.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. It's truly awful. And I think the most awful part is we know it.
Yes.
Do you know? On some level, we know. And of course, and then that's the work, the support we give to the human being, the practitioner, who's going to keep showing up until that trust in life is solid enough that person doesn't have to have those experiences anymore.
Right. Ooh, that's exciting.
It's really exciting. Yeah. And it's especially exciting when it has moved from theory to experience. That's
exactly.
Really exciting, isn't it?
all on, you know, waiting for the call, waiting in the queue.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. You know, Sherry, that was such a practice in action as I'm seeing it, which is the awareness of, wow, that person just the awareness of the loneliness of the poverty of the self, right? That I suddenly went into the identification, and instead of choosing that, to choose to stay in the queue regardless of what it was saying, is keeping the awareness open. Because to me, the power in that is letting go of the fact that ego feels like what it wanted to say was said already, and ceding to the fact that life always has something to say.
Right. Something good.
Because in the emptiness is richness, right? There's not, mm-hmm. in that moment, it's spilling over with everything that's in life in that moment. So there's never a paucity of anything to say when life is in the queue.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And all we're obligated to do is actually and metaphorically put ourselves in the queue, you know, be available to life. Create, if we'll just show up and create that opening, as you say, life will fill it with everything.
Yes. And as Virginia says, it's the solitude of not listening. The emptiness is the absence of the voices, and when the attention's not there, there's just so much to say.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? That caller is clearly not. Hang on. Let me find someone else. Okay. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. The not putting in the queue, I realized, was totally abandoning him. It was you have nothing to say, you have nothing to contribute. It's total separation.
Yeah. Yeah. And lonely.
Yeah.
Oof. Separate from life is about as lonely as a human can get.
And I was also seeing that a lot of the most beautiful times of my life have been alone with life. The solitude we're talking about. Pure bliss. Mm-hmm. And what dropped in on that was it cut through a long-standing story that I need a partner, a romantic partner, to be happy. And because here's my experience. I'm with life and whole, complete. I mean, those words aren't even full. Words fail here. But there's nothing missing.
That's right, which is a critical, critical point for all of us, Dan. Because then if you want a partner, you can have a partner. Whatever you want, you can have. You don't need it.
Yeah.
And not needing somebody is the greatest gift we can give them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because then that person is in those people, whatever it is that you're doing or whatever is going on, is there kind of an icing on the cake, or it's part of the fulfillment. It's the gift that life is giving. But you're not lonely without it, because what fulfills you is life.
And gratitude wants to give, and when I'm full like that, and you're with a partner, well, then it just spills over, and you want to give to your partner. There's none of this need, like you were saying. It's not taking. It's just bursting with love.
Yeah, that movement from what can I get to what can I give, it just makes the whole thing more joyful.
Yeah, dance partner is the phrase that comes into my head.
Right.
As opposed to.
I just had a picture of two people out on the floor, both trying to lead.
Yeah.
Right? And blaming the other one for why do you never go along with what? Why can you not, instead of happy to follow?
And follow life. The whole workshop of put myself in the queue. Oh, it looks like I'm not going to get in. Oh, hey, I'm the last one.
Okay, here we are.
Disappointment, excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, we never know, do we? The voices are constantly talking as if they do. If they do know. Oh, well, you're not going to get in. Well, actually, you don't know that, and here you are.
It recalls your comment about specificity. Okay, now you're saying this is going to happen. Okay, you're going to sign it. All right, thank you.
Right. Let's check back in later and see. Let's see what your success rate is here on predicting the future.
Much easier to rest in presence.
So relaxing. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dan. I just love what you were talking about, Cherry, that place of the hungry ghost is never filled. And
never.
So, never. It is the separation from life that feels lonely. And when we are in life, we feel fulfilled. It's a movement.
Yeah. Yes. And it's generous and it's kind and it's giving, because we realize that in that place, we're getting everything we want.
Yes.
When we're off there with ego in that lonely place, we're just the hungry ghost. There's endless deprivation. Mm-hmm. When we're with life, we just, I think you said it a minute ago, it's overflowing. We have more than we can deal with. So you got to find somebody to share it with.
Which brings us perfectly to our next assignment. And the end of another amazing show. And here is the assignment.
And week,
yes.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum. And if I can only walk with sufficient carelessness, I am sure to be filled.
Yeah.
This is the overflowing part of the program, right, Cherry?
Uh-huh.
This can remind us of the story of the learned professor, an expert on the sutras, who visits a Zen master and asks to be his student. The teacher invites the professor for a cup of tea and then proceeds to pour the tea into the cup until it overflows. The professor shouts, "Stop! The cup is full," to which the Zen master replies, "You are this cup. How can I teach you unless you first empty your cup?" When attention is on conditioned mind, the cup is filled to the brim with ego's preferences, positions, and opinions. It's only when the cup is empty, when we stop listening to and believing the voices, that we experience life animating us. Today, explore the experience of being fulfilled by life when you let go of what ego knows, prefers, wants, and thinks.
Yes, as we were just saying with Dan, it's it's so relaxing.
Yeah. All right, Cherry, thank you very much. And
thank you, Ashwini.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Go happy. Treasure yourself. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.